to Women Worth Knowing, the radio program and podcast hosted by Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.
Well, beautiful listeners, if you have listened to the episodes about Henrietta Mears, today it's going to be like icing on the cupcake because we have another guest in studio. This is Anne Huffman. Anne actually spent time with Henrietta Mears, and she has some fabulous stories to tell us. For 30 years, Anne and her husband John ministered at St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Newport Beach, and this is Cheryl's connection as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was right around the corner, and John Huffman and my father went to breakfast more than once at a restaurant called Coco's years ago.
Oh, Coco's.
Yes. So that's also a connection. And, you know, my father always spoke very highly of your husband, and my mother too, of you and your husband and the work that was done there. Fantastic. Just amazing.
You guys lived right behind us on Antigua.
My parents did. I was married and having children by that time. But yes, not too far.
Mm-hmm. Well, these small circles, because we all have just met today in studio, but we are so eager to hear the stories that Anne has about Henrietta Mears. And of course, Cheryl and I want to start with her hats. This is something.
This is details that women bring out. So tell us about her hats.
Her hats were big hats. They were always big hats, and they were beautiful hats, and they were different every single week.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
So that went on her expense account, obviously.
Oh, yeah. And she had her furs and her jewelry. I mean, she was dressed to the nines, no question about it.
Now, when I was growing up in church, my very, very beginning years, women wore hats on Sunday morning. I really miss that. I love hats.
I don't remember.
Oh my goodness!
The churches that I was at weren't formal enough. But just that sense that I picture Henrietta as, and she wasn't that tall.
Oh no,
average height, a little short maybe. But the hat, the appearance, the jewelry, the clothing,
the furs.
She entered a room representing the Lord Jesus Christ, because she said she always thought it was good to dress up to go to church. And so this is the woman you met as a college student, and right away she employed you, or not employed, but got you volunteering to...
Now, what drew you there? Now, what drew you to Hollywood Press and to working with Henrietta Mears?
My mother, we lived out in West L.A., and this was before the freeway, so...
Mm-hmm. Imperial Highway all the way.
Yeah, so we would take Sunset Boulevard all the way into Hollywood. And my mom wanted us to have a good Sunday school, and she heard about Hollywood Press, and so she said, okay, Dad, we are taking the girls and we're going into Hollywood. She got to know Henrietta Mears and became very close with teacher. Mm. In fact, Mom chose the clothes that were put on Henrietta in her casket.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And Mom started the Forest Home Women's Auxiliary.
Right.
Because Mom was up there at Forest Home one year, up at Lakeview, and she was sick. And so she was stuck in the cabin, and she said, oh, the carpet was awful, the drapes were hanging, the bedspread was terrible. I mean, so she said, I got to do something about this. So she started the Forest Home Women's Auxiliary, and they had thrift shops, and which is how they raised their money. And I think they raised almost $1 million to put into Forest Home, all of it to refurbish Forest Home.
Mm. And that explains why it was such a nice place to
and home
go.
In the title, Forest Home. It really was homey.
It felt
very much, and still does, as the conferences are still running there. So that was your first connection with your mom being involved at Forest Home.
Oh yeah, we used to go up there as kids, you know.
Yeah,
and I would go to the college briefing when I got into college. I went to the college briefing. And, Forest Home. In fact, I just went to Forest Home. We had a women's retreat there just a couple of weeks ago.
Mm.
And just to be back there was golden.
Yes. I bet. Yes. Now, how were you recruited by Henrietta Mears? Did she come up to you and say, I would like you? Or
I do not remember. Mm-hmm. All I know is I was given the job of being girls' vice president, which meant that I greeted everybody when they came into the college department Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night without fail.
Mm-hmm.
And she knew I was outgoing and warm, and that's what she wanted to be the first impression for students coming to the college department. So that's what I did.
But did you have a hat?
No, I did not have a hat. I did not have a hat.
So,
no, that was teacher.
And you said that part of that in our private conversation entailed every Saturday that you were at Henrietta Mayer's house?
Oh, every Saturday morning at 7 a.m.
7 a.m.
This is our college student. I mean, and one of my good friends to this day is Biff Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
And he lived quite far away. He would drive his VW up to the top of her driveway and park it Friday night. And he'd sleep in the car, so he would be there Saturday morning at 7 a.m. That is the level of commitment that we had to teachers.
Now I have to ask, did she serve coffee?
No, it was,
it was
orange juice and sweet rolls.
Oh, my. That would be hard without the coffee.
Mm-hmm. But that was a time then of prayer and for the leaders.
We would be on our mm-hmm. knees praying, and that was a significant part of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd pray about events that were going on in the college department, about individual people in the college department that we were concerned about, whatever. And then after the prayer time, that's when we would start discussing all the activities that we had going on, because we always had activities going on. And we would have, I'm trying to think, but we just had all kinds of things, like a girls' tea at teacher's house. We'd have, I don't know, I can't think of them right now.
Now, when you would do the teas at teacher's house, because I have heard that the tea parties were legendary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
can
yeah.
you tell us a little bit about that? Because I know that our listeners want to hear about tea. I know I do.
Well, teacher's home, she lived in a mansion. And
all by herself? Did she have others?
She had Bill and Vonette Bright. It was in the shape of an H. And one part of the H was her private quarters, and downstairs was the living room. The other part of the H, the top part, Bill and Vonette Bright lived there. And then downstairs was the hired help and the kitchen and all of that. The connecting the H was the dining room. It was this long, and the dining room table had to be 60 feet long.
Oh, my goodness. Is that where the meetings were that you went to?
No. They would be in a little study off of the dining room.
Wow, okay.
And so it just was, again, it was like home to us.
Mm-hmm.
And
so now the tea party, did she have china?
Oh, we had silver tea service. We had china. We had all the pastries. You name it, we had it.
And the tea sandwiches, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love all of that. And the scones. Yeah. Did they do scones then?
I don't know if they had scones.
I don't think so. I think that was kind of a later addition to our American teas.
Yeah. But anything done at teacher's home, again, was done beautifully and elegantly. And yet, it was home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was homey. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that you were scared to touch anything.
Mm-hmm.
This was our place.
Mm-hmm. I love that because, you know, the forks were right and the knives. I do miss that part because I grew up with a little bit of that, you know, with my aunts and with my mother in the setting of the table. And I think that's kind of a lost art, but also can be, if it's the right heart, very hospitable, very welcoming, very honoring.
Everything she did at her home was welcoming and hospitable.
Mm-hmm.
It just was.
Are there any outstanding outfits you can think of that she wore?
Not in particular, but all I remember were the big hats,
mm-hmm.
and I mean big, the furs, the jewelry. I mean, teacher was just always dressed to the nines.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just was so unique.
Yes.
And, of course, teacher never would preach. She would not preach. She was always a teacher.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of interesting because all of this is happening at the First Presbyterian Church of Hollywood. So Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And this is from the years that Henrietta was there teaching Sunday school, and it grew to hundreds and hundreds of years.
Thousands.
Thousands. And the years, what was the time frame? Remind me, the 30s to the...
She arrived, I think, in 28, and she died in 63.
Okay. And so you think about how when we have stories about missionaries that are trying to adapt to the culture they're at, well, certainly Hollywood, and she shows up mm-hmm. like someone who lives in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Well, she was such a force, and she just fit right in, and she was powerful. I mean, I would love to hear old tapes of hers. I never got to hear her teach.
What?
Yeah, because by the time I got there in 1960, mm-hmm. she was no longer teaching. Mm. It was Dale Bruner, Dave Benson, Peter Mackey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those were the teachers. Now, teacher was always there, but she had stopped teaching, and I was always disappointed. I never got to hear her teach.
And even though she'd stopped teaching, she was still hosting. Not only this leadership meeting, but also hosting teas at her house, which, you know, so many people, when they step back from ministry, they step away from everything,
no,
you know?
Not teacher.
I love
not
that.
Not teacher.
No motorhome, no hit in the road.
How would you say that her style of ministry or her welcoming, how did that affect you over the years? You married a pastor, 30 years serving at a large church, and how did that affect your mindset when you would do women's events or your feel for the ministry itself?
Well, you know, it was her boys that went to Princeton, and we girls married the boys. And John was not part of the college department, obviously, but he did go to Princeton, so he qualified. And but what was your question?
Well, just how you would take what you learned from her and those years.
Integrate into ministry.
So impressionable during those college years. And then here you went on into being full-time ministry. So can you see any specific things that you implemented in
the
years of ministry?
Well, I would say one thing I implemented is I love to entertain. Mm. And teacher loved to entertain.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something I have done for years. And I'd have big dinner parties. I'd have small dinner parties. I'd have luncheons. And so that being hospitable, and that was something the teacher was for sure.
Now, at these teas, look at me going right back to the tea, was conversation individual or would she address everyone at the tea?
I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know that she would address everyone. I mean, mm-hmm. I think it was just where we would mingle mm-hmm. and around the table and so forth.
Now, do you remember any conversations that you had with her that still stay in your mind? Like any of your interaction or talking to her, you know, on a kind of an individual basis, just you and...
Well, one thing I do remember is when my then boyfriend asked me to go to Cambodia,
mm-hmm.
and my mother didn't want me to go, and teacher said to my mother, "Martha, she's 21. Let her make her own decisions."
Oh,
I went to Cambodia, and on that trip, I met John.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So I credit teacher.
Oh, I would too. Yes.
Because if the only person that ever could have said that to my mother was teacher. The only person.
So as you said before, teacher was a force to be reckoned with, but it sounds like maybe your mother was too.
Oh, yes. For
and
sure.
How wonderful, though, that teacher, Henrietta Mears, could have friends with strong personalities. Not every woman can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
That's really remarkable.
And then, of course, Mom started the Forest Home Women's Auxiliary,
mm-hmm.
and because she loved teacher and wanted to, and she had been up at Lakeview and was sick one time and saw the shoddy carpet and the shoddy curtains and the bedspread, and she thought, I got to do something about this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how she started the Forest Home Women's Auxiliary, mm-hmm. with all their chapters and thrift shops. And I think they raised close to $1 million for Forest Home. I mean, it was amazing.
Amazing.
Which is just excellent.
Yeah.
So you would have been there for 3 years working beside her. What leadership skills did she pass on to you?
The hospitality.
Yeah, hospitality,
sure.
For one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think she assigned each one of us whatever role we had, whether it was president, girls vice president, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
She assigned it. And she intuited our gifts.
Now, see, that is amazing.
Yeah.
Because you have to converse, mm-hmm. you have to listen,
mm-hmm.
in order to see where someone is gifted. And it also has to be some divine.
She was brilliant, brilliant, and intellectually and emotionally,
mm-hmm.
and so she could see, you know, what gifts I had, what gifts others had, and would place them appropriately in their jobs at in the college department.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you ever help her set the table for any of the teas?
No.
Back to the tea, Cheryl.
I know.
We need to go have a tea party, Cheryl.
I love teas.
Yeah, it's got me thinking how fun that would be.
Now, would that be other women who she conscripted into service,
well,
or would that be?
She had her hired help in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived downstairs from where the Brights were upstairs.
So how old was she at this point when you were working with her?
She was 60, and she died at 63.
Wait a minute.
She died in 63. She mm-hmm. was 73.
73.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So from 70 and 71, 72, 73, you were working with her.
Right.
And she had stepped back, but she still had that brilliancy. And
she was involved in everything.
Mm.
I mean, she was there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night without fail.
Now, she was driving, too?
No, I think she had
a driver.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, did she ever drive? Like, I'm wondering if she made that commute, because, as you brought up earlier, the commute originally to Forest Home would have been tremendous, from Hollywood all the way.
Back in the 30s, when
yeah,
she
we
was
think,
buying
oh,
the
take
property.
The 10, but there was yeah. no 10.
Well, when she first went to Forest Home, there's a picture of her on a mule from the back.
Really?
Absolutely.
Oh.
They were going up to Forest Home, and she just fell in love with it but thought it was too expensive and she couldn't buy it. And so she just said, we have to close the books on it, and turn around and went back. And then amazing things happened that the price came down, she was able to buy it, and the rest is history.
So yeah. It was not the church that bought it, but Henrietta Mears privately that bought Forest Home?
It wasn't the church. She negotiated it somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Raised and gathered the funds of
yeah,
those who
the
supported
funds, yeah.
it.
And then she had administrators or those who were overseeing it who actually lived on the property.
Oh, yeah, like Jack Frank and
mm-hmm.
others. Yeah, all kinds of people that were up there.
But she still stayed very much in the picture of what was going on at Forest Home.
Oh, yes. In fact, when I'd be there at college briefing, we would have Victory Circle. This was at the end. And she would always sit down at the bottom of Victory Circle where the fire was, and then all the stands around her. And she had this table in front of her with a book of remembrance spread out. And so when we would speak and throw a stick on the fire and say what our decision had been, then we would come and sign the book of remembrance. And teacher
wow.
was right there. And those Book of Remembrances are up in the chapel to this very day.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many volumes would you say there are?
I have no idea. There has to be a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
How many?
That's beautiful.
Somebody knows.
We think that there's probably
hundreds.
Yeah.
Hundreds and hundreds.
Yeah.
Because think of all the hundreds and hundreds of people that that we're at Forest Home. And as I mentioned in an earlier episode, that's where my father came to know the Lord.
And his name's probably in one of those volumes.
That's what I'm wondering, is if he signed it from that family camp that we were there.
It'd take forever to find
the name. I know. But it's beautiful. So what are some of your favorite memories that you came prepared with a few notes? I want to make sure we give you time to tell us some of your favorites.
Well, I think my very favorite memories are of Saturday mornings at her home. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was just those of us that were on the leadership team, we got to be with her in a very, very intimate way. And so that is my favorite time with teacher.
Absolutely.
And but as I say, I was there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And she was always in the back and overseeing everything. And so we all did our jobs because we so loved teacher.
Now, did you ever get in trouble?
No. I didn't get in trouble.
Is that because you just wanted to please her so much? Or
teacher never, in fact, she said, she never focuses on the nose, only what you can do and what she wants you to do. She was always positive.
I love that.
It was never no smoking, no drinking, no dancing, no this, no that. No, that's not what she would do. It was all about what you could do.
And you can see that influence on Billy Graham and his evangelism, because he never taught the negatives. It was always the positive, because it's the Holy Spirit that takes care of those things and, you know, sanctifies and moves them out. And that could have even been part of the influence on my own father's life in evangelism, which is really, really striking.
Well, I think it's a very significant piece
of
it.
I do, too.
To not have any of the negative influences, but only the things that you can do.
Mm-hmm. And look how that goes with the hospitality and the welcoming. Mm-hmm. It's not like you have to follow all these rules. It's come in and be part of the family
and be part of the fellowship
that's happening here.
That's right.
And I think that's probably why Cheryl and I have been so drawn to Henrietta, because she was a woman who did things that were not expected of women during her era, and she was determined, and she accomplished so much that she was able to have this really long influence on so many that went into Christian leadership. And from what you're saying, I see that she led by example and that she was fully committed. So then when she asked that of anyone who volunteered, she would anticipate that they would be as committed, because that goes to our commitment to Christ. Book of Remembrance, I'm going to mark this day. Mm-hmm. This is when I promised the Lord that I'm going to trust him.
And she also had a lot of innovations for that time.
Of not what only was needed.
She, right.
One of the things she did, Peter Mackey was one of her boys. And Peter Mackey was given a Rhodes Scholarship, so he was going to Oxford. She said, Peter, I'm so proud of you, and I want you to look your very best. So she took him shopping and bought him a whole wardrobe of clothes, including a raincoat. But she wanted him to make a good impression, because she was so proud that Peter was going to Oxford.
How tender is that?
I mean, that's the kind of
again,
thing
she would do. Again, the family feeling.
You
the
talk
home.
About the personal dimension of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was incredible.
You know, and that the humility, too, never allowing this incredible success.
Yep, just call me teacher.
Right, to influence or to move her in any other direction, but to continue to serve.
That's right. That's right.
I'm so glad you were able to come and give us a glimpse of Henrietta. Any other thoughts you wanted to share?
Well, I've told you about her house. And
that was interesting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And her big hats, which she's famous for.
Now, was your house in Hollywood?
No, it was in Beverly Hills.
Beverly Hills.
That's right. It was Stone Canyon and Sunset Boulevard, right across from UCLA.
Oh, wow. Perfect location.
Yeah, exactly. And as I say, it was a mansion. I mean, which is amazing. And she had this long driveway. And that's where I'd say Biffer, he would park at the top.
So this is a great spot to end it, to think of the mansion waiting for Henrietta in eternity, and we get to go visit her.
That's right. And boy, will she be a wonderful person to interact with when we reach heaven.
Thank you, Anne.
Thank you again.
Thank you for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. For more information on Cheryl, visit CherylBroderson.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. For more information on Robin, visit RobinGunn.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. Join us each week for a lively conversation as we explore the lives of well-known and not-so-well-known historical and contemporary Christian women. If you think there is a woman worth knowing, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at wwk@cccm.com. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you rate us on your podcast app, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thank you again for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. Women Worth Knowing is a production of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa.